AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
0141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we look back on a big weekend across Scottish football. Celtic will head into the Old Firm game top after beating Livingston. Rangers have a game in hand and had gone back top temporarily by beating Hibs. And there were big wins for the likes of Dundee and Aberdeen in the top flight as Dundee United strike a blow in the Championship and Falkirk win League One. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Andy Halliday and Roger Hannah.
And you have only six sleeps to go before the big Old Firm tussle at Ibrox Sunday lunchtime. Rangers won at the weekend, they got Abdallah Sima back from injury. Celtic won at the weekend, they got Rio Hitati back from injury. They could have Callum McGregor back from injury by Sunday lunchtime. James Tavernier, as they said in the news, has created a British record. And Andy, if you're going to blame, miss a penalty, you can as well blame the misses, aren't you?
I've seen that, I love that excuse. Listen, a fairly routine weekend. Rangers win, Celtic win, and plenty of VAR drama to talk about as well. I had a lovely Easter Sunday, and it was topped off with that lovely vegetable samosa you brought me in today, Gordon.
I've been treating the pundits well. I'll just try to get them on my good side for tonight. But how are you feeling out there, Easter weekend? What did football do for you? Did it make your weekend, ruin your weekend, or somewhere in the middle? 0141 951 1025. Give us a call right now. I've got a funny feeling, if I know this area like I think I do, that people will on Monday night at 6 o'clock already be looking at next weekend. It'll be the earliest build up of all time. But if you want to do that, that's absolutely fine. Maybe we'll look back on the game at Livingston, the game at Ibrox, any of the other talking points elsewhere. I know a good local fixture for us ended in a stalemate between Motherwell and St Mirren. So any thoughts whatsoever, do get them in right now if you can, nice and early. 0141 951 1025. And these two will help you set the tone, whet your appetite if you like. What was your result of the weekend?
Result of the weekend, I'm going to dip into the Championship. Top of the table clash, Dundee United against the Raith Rovers. All the pressure's on United because people expect them to come straight back into the Premiership. And for once this season, they got it right. Tony Watt and Louis Mole, two gentlemen who once scored goals for your beloved Motherwell, Gordon, doing the job for United. And they may be back playing against Motherwell next season.
I'm going to go their neighbours. I'm going to go for Dundee. I thought it was a big game going into the weekend for them in their top six aspirations. They've obviously got that game in hand, but that 3 points at the weekend there takes them overleap Hibs in the top six for them for that last lot.
Okay, I don't envy you tonight. Goal of the weekend. Whoa. Who are you upsetting? Who are you leaving out?
Well, I know who was spoiled for choice. This man, game he was at.
You were there live in person.
You don't need to take my word for it. Just take the word of the Dundee manager, Tony Docherty. Lyle Cameron from 40 yards. Yes, Dimitar Mitov made a blunder coming out, heading it, not getting anything on it. And the ball drops. You've still got to hit it first time at an angle from, I think somebody measured it, 46 yards out. Beautiful finish. Tony Docherty said, super scoreboard goal of the week.
Listen, Tony Docherty, it wasn't even the best goal in the game. I'm going for Adama Sidibe. Gordon Duncan could score for 46 yards out if it was an empty net. But I tell you what he can't do.
Disrespect.
He doesn't have the acrobatics to score an overhead kick in the penalty box. I tell you what, we were spoiled for choice. What a weekend it was. But Adama Sidibe for me.
A few have been overlooked. What about your howler of the weekend then? Usually it's referees.
No.
No, not tonight?
No.
Okay.
There seemed to be a new game involved starting at the weekend. Teams playing the Old Firm. You eventually get the ball off the Old Firm, which is quite difficult sometimes, Gordon. And then what to do? Rather than pass it to your teammates, you smash it as hard as you can and see how many teammates it'll come off. Look at the Jamie Brandon own goal for Livy, but even that pales into insignificance. the Hibernian free kick.
Genuinely incredible, isn't it?
Nectar, I mean, it's a million to one chance that could happen. Mm-hmm. Nectar Triantis hits it. He floors Joe Lewis, who needed treatment. The ball then rebounds back, hits Will Fish and floors him as well. If you haven't seen it in social media, go now and watch it. You'll still be laughing when we're doing Beat the Pundit.
Yeah, but it took me until late last night at my 522nd viewing to realise that it goes back and hits Joe Newell again.
No way.
It does.
I've not seen that either.
Yes.
Well, he's grounded.
So it hits Joe Newell. He's down, rebounds, uh-huh. Hits Will Fish. Uh-huh. He's down, and it goes back and hits Joe Newell when he's on the deck. Oh. Go and check it out.
By the way, Joe Newell, I'm surprised he stayed on the pitch.
I know, I couldn't believe it.
It was absolutely laced off his face for 5 yards. I tell you what, I'm going to be honest, I could have gave myself hell over the weekend for my part in St Mirren's goal. I wasn't too happy about, but
like, well, talk me through it. You're blaming yourself, are you?
I'm blaming the sun and myself. Yeah.
I thought you and a few of your teammates maybe didn't.
Maybe, but listen, I hold my hands up. Accountability. I feel as if I can shuffle my feet and get there.
See, he's a good, honest pro like that. Not shifting the
ball.
But
do you know who else needs accountability, Gordon? Loic Aina. Aberdeen's first goal. I've watched it 3 or 4 times, and I've no idea how he's not kept out the net. I don't know if he was expecting a powerful shot from Miofsky. Obviously he's back tacking to get on the line, but he's in a great position. He could pass it away for the net, he could clear it, he could do whatever he wants with it. What he ended up doing was lashing into his own top corner.
It's hard to argue.
There's been a few.
But I suspect some of you out there will have some other howlers on your mind, so feel free to get them in. And finally, top man, top performer.
I'll go with Marley Watkins of Kilmarnock. He's playing really well. The previous game I saw him score in that rout of St Mirren. He was probably overshadowed by that David Watson goal that day. He scored a fantastic equaliser against Hearts at Tynecastle on Saturday. Led the line again really well. He is up to, I think, about a dozen goals for the season in all competitions. Playing really well.
I'm going to go James Tavernier. Not for so much for the individual performance at the weekend, but for the exact reason that he gave at the top of the show. 131 career goals, take him to the highest British scoring defender ever. And listen, we've talked about it so many times. When someone needs to step up to the plate, doesn't be affected by mistakes, doesn't let outside noise get ahead of him, he misses the penalty, dusts himself down, 4 minutes later, gets the opening goal.
Do you know, have you had the pleasure of meeting Mrs. Tavernier?
I have indeed, yeah, Melissa.
How would she take it when she saw the post-match quotes when he said...
I've never seen that before.
Well, considering she's a strong Geordie, then I'm sure she's got a few choice words for him after after the game.
So he said that she told him to put it down the middle.
Yeah.
I seen he also blamed it on his teeth coming out and he's been eating mashed potatoes for 4 days. Did you see that?
Oh no, I missed that.
No, he's been no well this week, apparently.
Two teeth out during the week.
Take the penalties off him now, missed the last two.
Do you know what's... I seen a stat earlier that he's only scored 79% of his penalties. It's not great. Return,
I think it's about
it?
Average, isn't it? Or it's close it? To... It's about close to average. It's neither bad... I think it's good, but it's not like outstanding. You're not talking about...
I know, but... And listen, you can kind of remember he's missed a fair few, but I tell you what, it's not better than the man's percentage that he overtook as the highest scoring defender ever. 90% I seen for Graham Alexander.
That's who he overtook, wasn't it?
90%.
And of all those stats, how many, the guy who does the Hibs Twitter, did he have any of those stats in
Anyway, I will get if the Hibs social media representative wants to call, we'll do that as well. 01419511025. How do you look back on your team's performance and result at the weekend? I suspect the more relevant question might be, how does that result and performance set you up for next week? Certainly to fans of both big sides in Glasgow. So get your calls in right now. Stephen's in Larkhall. How are you, Stephen?
Not bad. That's the evening panel. My point is, see the penalty kick that Tavernier took?
Yes.
Right, see the VAR decision. Why was the penalty not retaken? Because the Hibs player encroached into the box before Stephen Wright on the telly when I was looking at it. What did the panel think about that?
I mean, Roger, I think the... My reading of that situation is that Scott Wright's foot is just about in. I don't think there's any doubt about that. In fact, Philippe Clement admits it. He made a quip about if his feet being too big.
I can probably answer the question from Stephen.
Is Adam Lafondra the player, isn't it, who's in the arc in the D?
So, if the ball comes back out and Adam Lafondra boots it away to clearance, because he's encroached, it's a retaken penalty. But when the ball comes out, because Scott Wright has encroached and he impacted the play by scoring the goal, then it's Scott Wright that's penalised rather than Adam Lafondra who's penalised, and it becomes an indirect free kick, I think, for the Burnley.
Yeah, you see that, Stephen? They put emphasis on, you know, it only really comes into effect if that player has something like a material impact on, you know, if he scores the rebound, basically, or if he clears it, or he gets in the way, or something like that.
No, that's perfect. And I've just, because when I was led to believe as soon as anybody encroaches in the box or the keeper moves off the line, the penalty kick should be retaken.
No, it depends who it is ultimately, Roger, right. Doesn't it? It depends what team they're on. And I've seen, the reason I think there is more of a debate on this is because people are pointing out that, you know, there's an explanation which says if there's an attacker and a defender encroaches, then the penalty should be retaken.
That's what I was led to believe.
And that's where Stephen's going with this. But it's the fact that Scott Wright has the material impact on it that means that it's a free kick to Hibs, basically.
Yeah, well, if Lafondra and Wright had both encroached and the ball had come back and, for argument's sake, Cyril Dessers had put it in, then it would have been retaken because he hadn't encroached and he impacted the play, but it was because one of the ones who encroached had impacted the play, then it becomes an indirect free kick.
I thought we had
are you aware of all that as a player, just out of curiosity?
No, to be honest, I'm not. When you're talking about it, you kind of understand, but no, we've seen a similar instance. I remember when Rangers played Napoli in the Champions League, and I think it was the exact same. It was the person that took the rebound after Al McGregor had made the save, scored. But that was retaken.
Yeah.
But I don't know if rules or whatnot have changed since then. But I thought we got a real case of deja vu that Hibs saved a penalty.
Who takes Motherwell's penalties?
Theo Bell.
I remember.
David Marshall saved a James Tavernier penalty, and 2 weeks ago, John Lundstrom's followed up out of nowhere for a rebound. Scott Wright managed to do the same. I thought maybe I learnt their lesson after a couple of weeks ago. But big toe in.
Absolutely. What about the award of the penalty, as everything does in this country? There's a debate over it because
I found it quite surprising. I thought it was pretty clear cut, to be honest with you. I think you can give the referee some sort of leeway, although he is in a decent position at the time. But it happens all so quick. Maybe he's not quite seen the incident, but that's what VAR is there for. You see, I think again, Gordon, I must stress, it's one of them where as a player you do feel for Tiantis because you know there's no sort of intent there. He's got his eyes on the ball, but as we know,
and you know, I'm going to tell you,
as we know, intent
is
not. It doesn't matter, as you say. But yeah, clear penalty for me.
Yeah, it's a penalty. He's clumsy. He's up, and you're right. Intent doesn't matter. He's too clumsy. He's got John Souter. It's a penalty.
Simple as that. Stephen, what about the result, performance? How does that set you up going into next weekend?
Quietly confident for next weekend. Quietly confident. I think Rangers have got the upper hand. They've turned the tables around since Clement's come in. So all the fans behind them, I think we should just edge it, hopefully.
Would you have any... the performance, sorry, at the weekend and result, is that another in that bracket of... I think Philippe Clement would probably say Rangers weren't sparkling, but you know, there was a good level of control, scored a good time, scored good goals. What was the kind of main takeaway from the overall performance?
I thought it was very stuffy, but again, I even think when Rangers aren't at their best, they're very good at creating chances. Still had a bundle of opportunities. I think Hibs and Nick Montgomery could probably hold their hands up and say that Rangers could end up scoring 4 or 5 goals by the end, especially with the 2 chances they get in the last 5 minutes. But again, a big thing I've said about Rangers this season, it's the other end of the pitch where I think they've been really impressive, and they've limited Hibs to one shot on target. Yep, that was a goal. And you've got to say, if Rangers are sort of suspect in area, is that sort of ball down the outside of the centre half? We've seen that on a few occasions recently. But I do think they've been very, very solid defensively, and I think that's going to be a massive, massive important part of the game next weekend.
I think the timing, Roger, I'm obsessed with the timing of goals. I just think it's so relevant, so important. And Rangers getting their nose back in front just before half time, that's the bit that changes everything, isn't it?
I was listening to the show as I was at Perth on Saturday, Gordon, and what struck me wasn't so much the quality of Rangers play, it's the sort of resilience, because the penalty's missed and the rebound is disallowed, but very quickly they bounce back and Tavernier scores. And then there's another setback when Malida scores for Hibs, but very quickly. I think even before Desser scored in that goal, you're talking, it's at 45+7. Even before then, David Marshall's made a really good save from Dessers just a minute or two after the Hibs equaliser. So they do seem to respond well from moments of adversity, which maybe some Rangers teams of recent past hasn't done so well.
Thank you very much to Stephen for kicking it off on 01419511025. Good to have you, Stephen. Let's bring in Mark, who's also on the line. What did you make of Saturday, Mark, and how does that set you up going into a big week? Are we interrupting you, Mark? Can you hear us? Mark, it sounds like you're enjoying some live music. Where are you?
Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Good, good. I won't say where I am, or I'll get into trouble by my employer.
Right, okay, let's move on. What did you think of the performance at the weekend, and how does it set you up for
The performance at the weekend was okay. They played well in parts and didn't play well in other parts. Other points are, first of all, in defence of Tav, he's 79%, so he scored 4 out of every 5 penalties. And the penalties he's missed, he usually gets a rebound, so I'll defend him there. In terms of this week, a couple of questions for the panel. Philippe Clement has been in the job 4 months. If he goes on to win the title in the Scottish Cup, if he goes on, is this the best, I think it is, the best Rangers manager's results in our history? In 4 months to potentially win a treble. I don't know anyone in Scottish football actually that's achieved that. I know Ange did a treble in his first year, but the new manager's only had one transfer window. So I'm just curious. And they were all loan signings. So that's my first question. And the second question is, I think if Rangers beat Celtic, and I do think Rangers will beat Celtic on Sunday, then this next 10 days will determine the title, because if they beat Celtic, they've then got Dundee and one other game in the space of a week. So if they get results in these games, then surely the title is going to Ibrox, just to get the panel's opinion.
Oh, go on. Some big calls to be made by you two there.
Wow. Just think back through. Well, Angie's treble was his second season. It was a double in his first season, and I know that because I was in the departure lounge at Glasgow Airport with him when Rangers were beating Hearts in the Scottish Cup final. So it was the other way around.
I was at Hamden.
No, he was going to Greece and I was going to Turkey, right, I think, okay, as I recall. So that was his double. So he started with a double. If you're saying Philippe Clement can win a treble within 7 months of taking the job, that would be probably the biggest impact of any newcomer to Scottish football management in history. I would agree with that point. But it remains a very big if, and I say that, Mark, because you'll probably remember the last time Rangers beat Celtic in a league game when it mattered, Philippe Hollander scored the goal. And it was, I think it was Ange Postecoglou's first Old Firm derby at Ibrox, about August, September 2021. Seems a long time ago. Rangers could beat Celtic on Sunday. They can beat Celtic on Sunday. I think they'll need to beat Celtic on Sunday if they're going to win this league title.
I agree. I think it's a massive fixture clearly for both teams, but I think it's imperative that Rangers win the game. I think the next 14 days coming up, I think's probably the biggest 14-day period Rangers have had domestically for a long, long time. They obviously have the opportunity by next Wednesday to go 5 points clear. They've obviously got the Old Firm game at the weekend, and then that game in hand against Dundee next Wednesday. But for me, listen, maybe I'm wrong, but I think Celtic would be more than happy with a point knowing they've got an Old Firm game going to Celtic Park.
Mark, how important was the return of guys like Abdallah Sima at the weekend, not played for Rangers since the 2nd of January, I think?
Huge. And I would like to see Sima and Silva, both of them, or one of them, get new one-year loan deals, because it would suit the club in England, because the guys will then be in the Champions League next year, hopefully. They're both good enough. They both make the Rangers team better. So both players, we could not afford to sign either of them permanently. But I think they're both very happy here, and I'd like to see both of them, or at least one of them, sign a new one-year deal on loan. That's a separate matter. But my question to the panel, which maybe I've not worded correctly, my question was, if Rangers beat Celtic on Sunday and go on to beat Dundee in the next 7 days, the two games, do you believe Rangers will win the title?
I believe they will, if they go 5 points ahead by next Wednesday. Purely because in the timescale we've seen since Philippe Clement came in the door, Rangers have only dropped points to Celtic Park, a draw against Hibs, and then a defeat by the mighty Steelmen at Ibrox. So it's been a large period of games. I don't know exactly how many, but you're asking then Rangers to drop points in two more games and Celtic to be perfect from now to the end of the season.
It's a huge game. If Rangers win the game at the weekend, and then close out pre-split with wins at Dens and Ross County. They would go five clear with five to play, and it would be theirs to throw away.
Thank you, Mark. 01419511025. What about you, Celtic fans, then? How does yesterday's performance set you up going into the weekend? We're talking about players come back. Oreo Hatate was in there. How pleasing was that? What did you make of the game? I know there was a big talking point involving Kyogo as well, which I'm certain you've got an opinion on. So now would be the time to share it, if you would. 01419511025.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Listen and watch. Check the Twitter feed at Clyde SSB.
I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
No, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna and Andy Halliday are here. It's 01419511025, or it's Twitter at Clyde SSB if you want to get in touch. Before the break, we were discussing events at Ibrox. What about you, Celtic fans? What did you make of the game at Livingston yesterday? What were the good bits? Were there any bad bits? How does it set you up for Sunday? As always, there tends to be refereeing talking points as well, so if you want to air your grievances there, we're here for you. 01419511025. That's the number you need. So why not give us a call right now and let us know what it is that's on your mind. Of course, Brendan Rodgers wasn't in the dugout. Touchline ban for him. And John Kennedy says the victory shows that they are well prepared for this weekend's Old Firm game.
Yeah, I think we are. I think if you look at it in terms of, as I said, the way we're attacking and our control, especially today. But our attacking game's really clicked the last little while, you know, especially, you know, having the front players, but even Nick coming out of the equation, you know, initially had a period off, came in kind of unfit, but you now see he's now up to speed. You know, Yang's obviously back from suspension, so we've now got options as well, so it's not just the starting players, it's what comes in behind that. You know, today you're pretty much changing the front three, and you look at the second front three, it's a strong front three, so we've got lots of options, which is going to be important for us, and every day will contribute. You know, that's an important thing for everybody in the squad, that's, you know, maintain the levels of training, which has been superb, you know, and that prepare us best for the games, and then it's called upon, you're ready to roll.
Certainly getting players back. I thought Hatate did well, given he's the first start about, is it 5 months or something, Gordon? I thought he did fine yesterday. As John Kennedy said, Nicholas Kuhn is beginning to show why Celtic brought him from Rapid Vienna in January. Liam Scales slotted in alongside Carter Vickers. There was a lot of debate before the trip to Livingston yesterday as to whether Cameron Carter Vickers would play on that synthetic surface, whether Celtic would risk him. They did. He seems to have come through it. And if Celtic can get Callum McGregor back in time for the game on Sunday, they seem to be making positive noises about that, they're getting very close to a first choice 11 again.
Yeah, I can't disagree with anything John Kennedy said. That's 10 goals in the last three. You can see that sort of attacking sharpness coming back. I think the first half, albeit was a little bit stuffy, but you never felt at any point Celtic weren't going to go and win the game. Then second half really clicked. He talks about the options on the bench. I mean, the five subs for obviously Paolo Bernardo comes on and scores, but then Ida has a chance to score. Yang has a chance to score. Daniel Kelly has a chance to score. James Forrest has a chance to score. So they've got players coming off the bench to make a difference as well.
Yeah, I guess in two ways, you know, it's become an easier place for Celtic to go. It used to be somewhere they struggled. Livingston have obviously tailed off, bottom of the league for a reason, and obviously Ange Postecoglou found a way to kind of start breaking that kind of idea that it's a tough venue.
Well, unfortunately,
but it takes a while, I suppose. Is it about patience on days like that?
Yeah, listen, I think both Celtic and Rangers at times this season have had to show patience, not just at Livy, but in a few awkward away games against teams in the bottom six of the Premiership. And yesterday you always felt that the goal would come, even at half time, even at 0-0. You know, there was that chance for Kyogo that Shamal George saved just before the break, and you just thought the momentum was building a bit there with Celtic. Got the goal in sort of comedy moments at the start of the second half when it ricocheted off Jamie Brandon and went into his own net. But it was coming. And listen, they were in cruise control by the end.
I think you always feel in games like that, it's always going to take a moment of magic or a slice of luck.
Yeah.
And I think Celtic got that. They got that through constant pressure, don't get me wrong. But then, like you said, there was a bit of a comical factor to the first goal, and after that, it could have been any number.
And I don't think you'll see Celtic at Livingston again for a period of time.
Well, there is that. I mean, every week we say it, we're Livy gone already. The cliche says that you're not judged in games against Celtic, but ultimately the points are not really coming from anywhere.
They're 10 points adrift. I can't see where they're going to amass 10 points between now and the end of the season, the run of form they've been on.
Andy, in fact, tell you what, let's bring in a caller first and then I'll get your thoughts on something else. Ian, how are you?
How you doing, Gordon? Roger.
What did you take away from the Celtic game yesterday then?
Can you hear me okay? Am I echoing?
Oh, no, you're all good.
Okay. 2 seconds, guys. Just a turn the radio. It's just this. Just getting fed up with this VAR. It's serial. Serial cheating.
And I'm, steady, and I'm, Ian. Well, careful myself. With that word.
No. But listen, it's getting ridiculous now.
No, I get that. But what I'm saying is, remember, you don't accuse any individual of cheating on here unless you can sort of back it up.
Unless it's Gordon DL. Well,
aye, apart from him.
Aye. Listen, Alan Muir, the man that never gave us a penalty kick against Kilmarnock, again, at it, never gave us a penalty kick against Livingston. We won the game, but I can define the moment in the game. It's possibly a red card as well because it's a goal-scoring opportunity. And then we'll go to the, what do you call it, a penalty kick that Rangers got on Saturday. Never a penalty kick, and you are saying this, you do, it's a penalty. Come on, Ian, play the game.
Ian, you're letting yourself down here. You have to get back to when Alan Muir didn't give the penalty for Josh Meeking's handball against Inverness in the Cup semi-final.
That's a good point, that.
What about the penalty kick incidents in Ross County, Celtic, Inverness, Cali? We never get penalty kicks.
That's what he said.
With Lee Griffiths.
That's what Roger just said.
Aye, but we never got the penalty.
I know that. Anyway, right, there's a really good debate to be had, Ian. One thing that we'll just knock in the head, and this is where it threatens to get silly, it is not a red card. That even in the box now, if you make an attempt to get the ball and it is a goal scoring opportunity, you're still only given a yellow. It is 1,000,000% not a red card. So let's knock that in the head. However, a more interesting debate: should Celtic have had a penalty for that challenge on Kyogo?
Yes. Yeah, I think it's a penalty. I think I've said this on many occasions. I think any defender knowing that if they lunge, which Michael Devlin does, if you lunge to win the ball and you don't make any contact with the ball and make contact with an opponent or a striker, you're giving away a penalty. For me, a penalty should have been given.
Roger, it is tempting and it's great fun for everybody to compare and contrast and look at various others in isolation. That incident alone, is that a penalty?
Yeah. Christopher from Ayrshire says, no, I have to say yes. Just Michael Devlin, much as I like him, has just been caught out by the speed of Kyogo. Kyogo's speed of thought and speed of movement is superior to that of Michael Devlin's in that split second. And he's tried to get the ball. He's just sort of come through the back of Kyogo a wee bit, and it's a penalty.
Here we are again, though, because we'll never know for sure what the thought process is there. Is it that, you know, it's checked a bit too quickly and it's not all really taken in, or just genuinely they've seen all the angles and they've seen all the things that we've seen, but they still don't think it was a penalty? You know, you're just second guessing because you don't hear it.
And don't,
like, by the way, and I've said it before, you don't really hear it in any leagues.
But listen, that quite often the case. That was a Perth, as I said to you.
Because to be fair,
there was a goal disallowed in the last minute there.
It's not one that you immediately look at and know straight away.
Yeah.
Andy Halliday, for anyone who's watching in the live stream, he's just pointing randomly at the TV, showing the decision in the Chelsea Burnley
where
game.
It's never a penalty and never a red card.
So second booking.
I don't know if that makes us feel any better about things, that there are mistakes elsewhere. It probably shouldn't, but
The point I was making was we don't know the communication that goes on between the fourth official and the referee, because I was at Perth at the weekend. The referee, young referee called Ian Sneddon, disallowed a potential St Johnstone equaliser in added time. He was then sent to the screen to review his decision by the VAR, very experienced VAR, Greg Aiken.
Stuck.
And Ian Sneddon stuck by his decision. But we're still unclear as to why the goal was disallowed. Was it a shove in the defender or was it a shove in the goalie?
There you are, Ian. They both certainly agree with you that that should have been a penalty, so there's no debate to be had there. What did you make of the performance overall?
I thought it was a major performance. A wee bit kind of huffing and puffing. in the first half, Gordon, Andy and Roger. But I thought the second half, they came out and they done the job. But as I say, the penalty kick incident, I'm not going to talk about it. I'm just saying it could have... Because I think it was in the first half, wasn't it, guys?
Yeah.
So I could have defined the game. You know what I mean? Because there is a title challenge on. Me, personally, I think we'll go to Ibrox and turn them over. Andy, can I just correct you on something?
Yes.
You were saying about Rangers, the big steel men who you play for, you beat them. But Celtic beat them as well.
Yes,
you never mentioned Celtic beat them twice. No, I don't think you did. But anyway,
Ian,
I promise you I did.
Ian, one for tomorrow night's show. You need to listen. We don't know the announcement we made tomorrow. We're talking about team news. Callum McGregor coming back, Hatate back, Seema back for Rangers. The biggest talking point will be the third team, the referee and the VAR at the weekend.
I can't believe you're bringing this up the night before. That
I
we
take
have
it you're not
about.
Wanting Alan Muir.
No, listen. I just want a level playing field, Roger. I want the game refereed properly. And if there's a decision...
Who's the best, then, Ian? Who's your favourite ref? Who do you want, if you could choose?
I'm going to tell you something. I would appoint Nick Walsh.
Yeah, you asked for a name and you gave me one. I don't think it's a bad shout. You might get your wish anyway. 0141
Will they call him as VAR?
102. Oh, we've had that combination
before. What could possibly go wrong?
0141 951 1025. That is the number that you need. What did you make of Rio Hatate being back?
Again, pretty similar to what Roger says. I thought he had a good game. We've seen Rio Hatate have a lot better games, but I think even for the first 5 minutes, you can just see his power, he's industrious, the difference he makes. A big thing I've said about Hatate that we'll say again is I don't think Celtic have another Hatate in the squad, whereas I think, for as fantastic as O'Reilly's been this season, I think Paolo Bernardo's a similar type of player, can play between the lines, can get you a goal and assist, break into the box. I think even David Turnbull, when he was there, was kind of similar to the profile of O'Reilly. But I just think that sheer power and pace and industriousness that Hatate's got, I think especially in these big games, I think when he was hugely missed for Celtic was in the Champions League, and I think for these Old Firm games, very, very similar. And I just think it's a massive boost for Celtic for him being back. Carter Vickers as well, I talk about him all the time. I think the difference he can make, if they have Hatate, Carter Vickers and returning McGregor next weekend, Celtic will be pretty much...
You'll know better than me. You talked about big games yesterday. With all due respect to Livingston, wasn't a big game. Hatate get through it easily. It was his first start in 5 months. Is there a danger for Celtic in starting both McGregor out for 5 or 6 weeks and Hatate out for 5 months? And what is a far more intense, a higher tempo, greater physicality at Ibrox on Sunday? Can you put the two of them in together?
Well, what I will say first and foremost is they definitely will if they're both fit.
Yeah.
Whereas in Hatate's sense, I think although he's been injured for 5 months, I think that he's been on the grass for a long period of time. I think the 60 minutes yesterday was massive for him to get minutes under his belt going into next weekend. And I do think games like this, although it is, you know, energy sapping, it's taxing, a lot of it is running on just pure adrenaline. And I think McGregor, for me, is more of the worry. Although it's been a shorter term injury, he's had no... it seems as if he's had no time on the grass. It's been a... obviously, it's been a calf strain. So how... I mean, how fit will he truly be going into the game?
And is it as simple as Iwata just drops out?
Well, for me, no doubt. If Callum McGregor's fit, he plays, no doubt. I think the only one you can maybe have an argument about, because he has done well in his absence, is will Paolo Bernardo play instead of Hatate? But I just think with this type of game, I think Rio Hatate will get the nod.
Plenty of time to debate Sunday's team lineups as the week goes on. Let's also keep looking back on the stuff that happened over the weekend. 01419511025. Call us right now whilst I tell you about this.
Win £250,000.
You did hear that right. What a prize we have for you right now. It is £250,000. One person is guaranteed to win the lot when Tyler West makes that call. And if it is you, it goes straight into your bank account within the hour. I can just imagine the constant refreshing of your banking app. Unless you're Hugh Keevans, you'd need to just stand in branch and just constantly shout over and see if it's been deposited.
He's had a very difficult few days financially.
He has. Hopefully he's recovering now. But we wouldn't want you to miss out on that chance, so enter now and we could pay you that quarter of a million if you text YES to 61025. £2 to text plus your standard network rate. Enter on the website if you want. Online entry £2 or call 0330 880 4523, and the calls are charged at a standard rate. It is over 18s only, and all the rules for this network competition are online. The lines close at 3 p.m. next Friday. There's no phrase or amount to remember. You don't have to pick up within five rings. This is the easiest of the lot. Just answer your phone and the quarter of a million is yours.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hannah, Andy Halliday, both here, both waiting for you to get in touch on 0141 951 1025. We were looking back on events in Livingston yesterday. Let's bring in Phil and see what he took from it. Phil,
hi.
How's it going? You alright?
Alright, Andy.
How you doing, Phil?
Aye, fine. No, it's just I was trying to make an appointment earlier on to the boy of want earlier on. It's just the Rangers fans are splitting hairs with us. See, if you look at the VAR decision, I know you were talking about the game yesterday at Livingston, but I'll go into that after. See if you look at VAR, and you've got to take it to the rules, because I'm not a fan of VAR. I hate it. I don't like it. I think it's to the goodness of the football, if you ask me. But anyway, see if you look at the decision. It's the boy Wright's got white boots on, and the Hibs player, I can't remember the boy's name, he's got black boots on, so all you can see is a white boot in the penalty spot. So I don't know what the Rangers fans are going on about, but you've got to take the rules and that's it.
Now, speaking of splitting hairs, I thought it was a blue boot that Scott Wright had on. But anyway, right, I'm colourblind, so I'm probably the last person to... To be fair, I do think the debate, if there is one, is more about Adam Lafondra, who's in the D, rather than the person who's alongside Scott Wright. But I think you've both... We can go over it again if you want, but you've both said, yes, it's a bit confusing, and yes, we're talking centimetres, but you both think it's the right decision in the end. Because again,
And let's hope we don't have another one of these on Sunday afternoon.
No, we will.
Well, listen, bound to happen.
There'll be something to debate about, won't there?
What did you take away from the Celtic game then, Phil?
Sorry.
What did you take away from the Celtic game yesterday?
The Celtic game? I thought Celtic were all right. I thought they were a bit more structured than they had been the last few weeks, but there's still something. I know Callum McGregor's not there, but there's still something missing in the midfield, I feel, for Celtic. Somebody like Scott Brown or something, do you know what I mean? Which they could have had. I don't know why they're not signing a player on that level, you know what I mean? Because I don't think there's any punch, I don't think there's any dig, you know what I mean?
See, I was about to ask, what does Phil mean? And he then read my mind, punch and dig. I always wonder about those things. I'm sure they're admirable, but we didn't really hear last season, you know, if McGregor, Hatate, O'Reilly. See, when they're all firing and ticking, maybe when you get into Europe we hear it a bit more often, but I don't know. Even the top teams now, do they all have someone that you would immediately describe as dig as being like their number one quality?
Listen, I know what Phil means. There's something missing in the Celtic midfield, and it's Callum McGregor, because he's not there, and he's arguably Celtic's best player. In terms of the dig and what have you, you look at some of the big teams. You know, you watch Manchester City. Rodri always plays in there, and he's not going and smashing into people, but he's got that little bit of... menace is the right word, you know. He's different to De Bruyne, if you know what I mean. You look at Arsenal, when they play the big games, Jorginho's in there, and Declan Rice moves on one, if you like. Even Liverpool, you watched them earlier yesterday, the lad Endo is the one who sort of sits and while the others go and play. So they all do have that type of player. Celtic have that type of player. It's Callum McGregor. He is different from Scott Brown, of course he is, but that, you know, he's Celtic's number six. And they're not as effective or efficient when he's not there.
Listen, I'm not going to put words in Phil's mouth, but and when he means dig, I don't know if he means maybe pace and power, which I think when it comes to the bigger games.
That's what I mean. I did for admit me, that Europe is.
Yeah, well, for me, that is where you know the extra legs in midfield makes a huge difference, and that's why I think Rio Hatate has been a massive miss when it comes to the European games. I actually think, listen, I've not watched Celtic the last few weeks as much as maybe Phil has. I think Awat has been pretty good out of possession since he's came in for Callum McGregor, but what he doesn't have is Callum McGregor's ability on the ball to receive the ball in different kinds of areas and play forward and drive through midfield. I think that's where the biggest difference is, more than being dig, shall we say. But Hatate, again, I'm guilty of repeating myself here, but I just think that industrious pace and power when it comes to a game like the Old Firm at the weekend, when it's going to be a bit more NTN, both teams attacking, both teams trying to win the game, I do think his extra legs in midfield make a huge difference.
So you, how does the weekend there, the Livingston game, set you up for the Rangers game, Phil?
Me? I think we're going to win.
So the lack of dig that you think's there in midfield won't be too evident?
Obviously, I'm just talking in general about the Celtic team, but I think if we get Callum McGregor back, I think they can win the game. I really do.
We'll find out in the not too distant future. Thank you to Phil, 01419511025. Here's what, and again, to remind you, it was John Kennedy, not Brendan Rodgers. There was a ban for Brendan Rodgers. He will be back in the dugout this week, just in case MD missed that. Last, I know it was a quiet story that just slipped under the radar, but this is what he had to say about the return of Reo Hatate.
Yeah, and he has been in training. That's, you know, pretty much why the gaffer thought, you know, get him in the team quickly, because he's been terrific the last few weeks. He's come back in good condition, worked really hard. It was time to unleash him, and I think you can see what he brings to the team, and we're in good shape going into the run-in.
Yeah, thanks again to Phil, 01419511025. If you would rather tweet, you can do, not a problem. Get your thoughts over there as well, even if it's just to say, like Stuart, who says VAR debates on Super Scoreboard getting me through a day's toil in rural Ontario. And he appears to be like chopping down trees or something.
Lucky
along
man.
Those lines. That's a heavy piece of tree chopping machinery he's got there. But anyway,
Alec Ray was the man for that, wasn't he? Alec Ray used to pass his time chopping down trees.
Apparently, he's a bit busier these days.
He is busier, yeah. I just wonder if he's overgrown up at his place now.
Theo Bears could volley that tree.
I was going to say Canadian. What was the stat the weekend?
Denny's last 14.
No, he's now the highest scoring scoring Canadian in a single season in the Scottish Premiership. Yeah. Roger.
Wow.
Did you know that record was up for grabs?
I didn't even know there was such a thing.
Probably not got a lot of competition.
He overtook Scott Arfield. I think you'll find at the weekend at Theo Bear. Any other Motherwell fans who want to pick Andy Halliday's brain about anything, you can do. If you're at least just a touch nice to him, you can like mostly abuse him. But we'll see how we go. 01419511025 is that number. Remember, if you want to get your thoughts in. I think we're probably going to squeeze one more in before the break. I think we are. I think we're going to try and line Graham up in the not too distant future. I feel like the technology is going a wee bit slow in front of me. You know that way, like bank holiday, just everybody taking the pace down a wee bit.
Yeah.
Were you grafting away at the Scottish Sun? Or do you just dress like that in your spare time?
No. Every day is a day for the newspapers.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Always a new fresh paper tomorrow.
Okay. Graham is on the line. How are you, Graham?
Not bad, Gordon. How you doing?
Not bad. What's your point tonight?
My point is to the panel. Good evening.
Hi, Graham.
How you doing, Graham?
I'm a Rangers fan here, but I sound a wee bit cheeky to their side here, but when Rangers got a penalty on Sunday, who's going to take it?
Oh, Graham, listen, if I had said that, or if a Celtic caller had said that, everybody would be up in arms. You've gone and introduced that. What are you trying to say?
It's nailed on, isn't it?
I wouldn't dream of offering my opinion on that subject.
There's only two people to ask this. One is the Hibs Twitter admin, and the other is Mrs. Tavernier.
I mean, last time I checked, both Celtic and Rangers had earned quite a lot of penalties this season in the league, so maybe both will get one. Anyway, can we not forecast my headache before it has to actually happen? Why do you ask, Graham? What's the thought about Rangers penalties?
I'm just going, really, if we get one on Sunday, I'm really not wanting to have to take it anymore.
Oh, really? I'm off them for you.
I was there on Saturday, and when the penalty was dubious, and we went to the monitor, I seen Silva and Cantwell both arguing who was going to take it. Tav, in my mind, really didn't want to take it. If he really wanted to take it, he'd come up to the ball off him straight away, but he hung back and hung back. So to me, he's no confident in taking him anymore.
Well, I'll give you a history lesson, Graham. I believe James Tavernier's missed his last two penalties, yeah?
Yeah.
Last time a Rangers captain missed back-to-back penalties was Barry Ferguson at the end of the season in 2003.
Dundee.
Rangers then got a penalty. He was going to take it. I think maybe some teammates intervened. Mikel Arteta took the first penalty of his career, scored, and then scored the decisive penalty in the last day of the season.
Yeah. What about the... if we're going down history lines and looking for omens, remember the last time there was a bit of doubt about James Tavernier in a game against Celtic, and Alfredo Morelos took it.
Yeah, missed.
Didn't end up too well either. What would you think then, Andy? I take Graham's point. He's missed two in a row. His percentage, what did you say, 79? Something like
79%,
that. I think that's good. I don't think it's not Graham Alexander, like you mentioned. Is it even close to time to take it? I just can't imagine that it would happen, but I'm not basing it on much.
Yeah, I think if James Tavernier came off penalties, it's because James Tavernier's decided to come off penalties. I think if he said, you know what, manager, I don't feel confident taking the penalties anymore, then it will be taken off. But I think the team, the staff have got full trust in him. He's took so many big penalties, I would say. A lot of penalties in Europe in big occasions. And for me, it's not time just now.
The question I would ask Graham back is, if James Tavernier doesn't take it, who takes it?
Well, you've got to look to the likes of Silva, or I would even throw the hat into Dessers. I don't think Todd Cantwell's a penalty taker.
What makes you think Dessers is? And I'm not saying he's not, by the way, before anyone thinks
scored for Nigeria.
Fair. Okay, there you are. Is that it, Graham? Are we basing it on his recent international action?
I'll go with Roger. He knows best.
That makes me think Graham didn't have a reason before you said that. But anyway, thank you very much to Graham. An interesting thought ahead of the weekend. And if you think that's a big game, it does not compare to this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. It's 01419511025. And this is what I love about you. You're so ambitious, full of hope, full of belief. Everybody knows Roger Hannah and Andy Halliday are very good at this, but still on a Monday, you want to try and take them down, and I love it. So 01419511025 before 7 o'clock, and your chance to beat the pundit is next.
Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna are here at 01419511025, or you can tweet at Clyde SSB. In the first hour, we were looking back on the main talking points from the weekend. Was Scott Wright inside the box? What colour of boots did he have on? Who else was encroaching? What should that have meant? Should Kyogo have had a penalty? And then even a bit of football as well, in terms of who performed well and who struggled, and how both teams are set up going into next weekend. If you want to keep going on those themes, we are here for you. If you want to shift it on to something else, now is the perfect time as well. Give us a call right now and we'll speak after this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Okay, it is Beat the Pundit time. I have to say, on Saturday night, myself, Mark Wilson, Gordon DL and Hugh Keevans were at a charity event in the David Lloyd, you know, like the gym health club or whatever the official term would be, in Hamilton.
Yeah.
And we played some like live in person Beat the Pundits.
Mm-hmm.
So what if I was to tell you this, right, that two of those won their game and one of them lost, what would the split be in your mind? Go on.
I'd be pretty confident that Gordon DL lost.
Well, given he was having difficulties communicating towards the end of the show on Saturday, then I would say the same.
You would be absolutely correct. I heard about this. Now, I hope I've got the clip of it, or I can at least get it at some point. Yeah, I have, right. So I wasn't here on Saturday. I was elsewhere. Andrew McLean was looking after things, but news very quickly reached me about Gordon DL's voice malfunction. Listen to this.
Wasn't he very mobile, was he, when he came back?
No, he didn't look fit at all.
You're going to have to give me that again. Let's go.
Wasn't he very mobile, was he, when he came back?
No, he didn't look fit at all. So.
How good is that? I think I'm going to play that every night for now until the end of the
that
season. Why not?
And the people sitting around me in the main stand at McDermott Park must have wondered why I suddenly burst out laughing round about 4:30, 20 to 5, as their team was losing to Dundee.
Is that
why?
Is that the hot air coming out? Is that what it was? And I could have said a lot worse than hot air, I must admit.
Well,
it was a microphone stuck in his mouth.
You ever heard the likes?
That was tremendous. I love that.
Incredible.
It's always the simple things. Your voice cracks always funny.
unbelievable. It really is. But anyway, yeah, the live in-person Beat the Pundits were quite interesting to watch, mm-hmm. especially because by the time we did that, Hugh Keevans had that sort of, you know, that red wine ring that you can sometimes get round the outside of your mouth.
Does Hugh take a wee glass of red?
I think, aye. Well, listen, he'll be in later this week and we can quiz him on it. But mm-hmm. that was certainly my take on it from mm-hmm. where I was standing. Let's play tonight with Alex in Greenock. How are you, Alex?
Not too bad, mate. Not too bad. Yourself?
All good. Have you ever played before?
I've played it every night since you started it, and I'm undefeated, so I'm...
Against yourself?
No, whoever's on the panel. I want to actually play you, Gordon.
You win every night at this?
Never lost, mate.
I love that. That's just like, I mean, can't be true, but I just love that.
I hope he plays Roger then, if he's never lost.
I want Gordon.
I've got the questions in front of me. Am I supposed to? Right, in fact, let's do it then, Andy. See these questions that I've just been staring at for the last 5 minutes. Go and read them out. You'll know when the night, Alex, if that's the case.
But I've said before 100% by the end of the season, it has to be one night on a Monday with me, you and Roger, that you take it.
I really don't think I'd be that good at it.
I think you would.
I think you would be.
No, I mean, I take the compliment, right? I like to think that my overall knowledge of these things is okay, but I do think under the pressure of it, having never done it before, I do fear that my bottle would go.
No, I think you'll be good.
But anyway, it's for another hypothetical day that will never happen. Let's toss the coin. Heads, it's Andy Halliday, and tails, it is Roger Hanna, and it is heads, Andy against Alex, who's in Greenock. The sign.
Choked for a week off. Do you know that?
Have you played mostly recently? Have you?
A few weeks in a row.
Oh, he was terrible in your absence last week.
But he won.
That's why tonight I was thinking, nah.
He swapped onto Tuesday last week. He'd gone the lot. He did win 4-3, but he was all over the place.
A win's a win, Gordon.
Right, Alex, what I'll do here is give Andy some greatest hits radio to listen to so he can't hear us. I'll put 30 seconds on your clock, Alex. And if you want to just pass and move on, that is fine. Answer as many as you can, okay?
Okay.
Top man, Alex, your time starts now. Before the weekend, who was James Tavernier's last penalty miss against?
Hibs.
Who's the oldest player to play for Celtic this season? Who's the only team without a win in the last five Scottish Premiership games?
Lovey.
Which musical instrument appears on the Hibs club badge?
Ukulele.
Who's the last country Scotland men's team beat?
Oh, I don't know, George.
Who did Stephen Naismith play more games for, Kilmarnock or Everton?
Everton.
Okay, let's bring Andy Halliday back. Can he hear us?
Yes.
Yes, he was nodding away. Alex, did you nearly swear during one of those questions?
Oh, absolutely not, no.
Right, I just thought it got a wee bit close, and I don't think it did sneak out there, but if I missed it, please accept my apologies. You know, one of those,
We certainly couldn't tell.
That's what I was going to say.
He's just...
No, it's fine, don't worry. He's just taking the, you know what.
I'll find out
Right, you've got 30 seconds, Andy, and your time starts now. Before the weekend, who was the last team James Tavernier missed a penalty against?
Pass.
Who's the oldest player to play for Celtic this season?
Joe Hart.
Who's the only team without a win in the last five Scottish Livingston. Premiership games? What musical instrument is on the Hibs club badge?
Guitar.
Who is the last country Scotland men's team beat?
Cyprus.
Who did Stephen Naismith play more for, Kilmarnock or Everton?
Kilmarnock.
True or false, the world's fastest hat-trick was scored by a Scotsman?
True.
Who did David Turnbull join after
Cardiff.
Leaving Celtic? Who holds Aberdeen's most appearances for the club this century? Quick.
Andy Constantine.
Alex, have you done enough?
Guitar.
Oh, it's Andy's a good Rangers man. I thought I'd let him.
Hold on a minute. I actually don't even care if Andy Halliday goes on to win this. Talk me through question number one.
It was the week before,
it wasn't the week before. You said it. You brought this up earlier in the show.
Yeah. Right.
James Tavernier, before the weekend.
Oh, who was he? Oh, Rod.
See, if I'm being honest, I forgot about that. Brought it up earlier.
I know. That's the perfect example, though. Like, if I don't, you know what I might, if I don't get it within a couple of seconds, I pass.
1-0 to Alex in Greenock. Alex, here's where I'm going to ask for some honesty from you. What did you say for the second question?
What was the second question again?
About the Celtic player.
Oh, I was going to say Joe Hart, but I totally forgot.
Oh, see, good honesty from him, because I thought he said Hart And there, I was about to give you, Alex, quick, lie to me, tell me you said Hart.
I did. Oh,
he's the most convincing liar since.
No wonder he's undefeated.
Exactly. He gets 11 out of 10 every night, by the sounds of it. Andy Halliday equalises. The only team without a win in the last five, Livy. You both got it, so it's a good game. Andy leads by one. The musical instrument. Alex said on the Hibs badge. Andy said, Alex said a ukulele. Andy said a guitar. You're both right, they've got strings, but it's a harp.
No? Honestly, man.
Never stared at the opposition's badge when you've been playing?
No. No idea.
Okay. None of you got it. The last country Scotland men's team beat was Cyprus. Well done, Andy Halliday. What about the Stephen Naismith question?
It's Everton all day.
It is Everton.
All
Did
day.
You go Kilmarnock?
I said Kilmarnock, aye.
Yeah, it is Everton. So well done to Alex, who pulls one back. But Andy Halliday then stretches out in front, because it was apparently Tommy Ross for Ross County, 1964. Roger Hannah, the fastest hat-trick.
Oh, I couldn't have told you that. I thought it was Robbie Fowler.
70 seconds according to these records.
Ah, right, okay.
And David Turnbull joined Cardiff after Celtic. So it was a 6-3 really for Andy. If we give Alex his lie, it was a 6-4.
What was the next one? Did I get it wrong?
Oh, sorry, you got Andy Considine as well.
I was right.
Yeah, well done. Sorry, as I didn't even notice we got that far. Hard lines, Alex. Your 100% winning record comes to an end live on air. Who'd have thought it?
No point in crying, it's over. I just smile, it happened.
I like Alex.
Good game, though, Alex.
Good way of putting it, Alex. Well done.
What did you take away from the weekend's football, Alex, taking into this week?
I still think they play far too slow, to be honest. I get it. It's a high block, it's a low block team to play against. I just think we need to move the ball faster in midfield. And we'll see if we can do that on Sunday. If we can do that, I think we'll be laughing, win the midfield battle and pull ahead of them with a game in hand.
See, this is why guys like Alex have got a much more sophisticated tactical mind than mine, because I said I was at Ibrox working at the weekend. I didn't think Hibs were particularly low blocky, and I thought it was quite enjoyable. It was quite open at times. Hibs have got good players, Roger. They try and play out. We know we're over that, and yes, it can be their undoing a bit, and maybe they don't quite have the players to always pull it off. But there was a kind of openness a bit about it at times.
Yeah, I think there's a kind of imbalance to the Hibs side. They do have good players, but the majority of them are in forward areas. So it's great if you can beat the press and get the ball forward to the good players, as they did when they equalised through Malouda's goal. But this is going to be a different game for Rangers, and it's going to be a different game for Celtic, because Celtic won't come in with any type of low block. They'll try and play the way they normally do, which not many teams do at Ibrox, so that should give Rangers a bit more space. The flip side of that, of course, is that, you know, Celtic will carry more of a threat going forward than Rangers are used to facing at Ibrox, so I think it'll be a fascinating game, as it always is.
Yeah, listen, I think it's a very, very difficult one to predict. I think if you asked me a month ago, I'd probably give the edge to Rangers, but like I touched on, I think Celtic's attacking threat has returned and been very good recently, but also, more importantly, the three guys have potentially got back in the starting 11 at the weekend as well. That being said, Rangers have got a couple of bodies back. I think the return of Abdulrasim is big, but then that left-back position where Borna Barisic coming off injured towards the end of the game, and Yilmaz getting injured in international duty. Who gets a call there? Is it Dejan Sterling?
Alex, just a quick one, because we got a point on it before the break, and I've had another tweet. If Rangers were to get a penalty, is James Tavernier still on them, having missed those two against Hibs, like you heard and beat the pundit?
Aye, I'd still keep him on it, definitely.
Yeah.
There was a period a couple of seasons ago, he missed a couple, in fact, no, even longer, and it was the cup final, Morelos stepped up and took it. And it was a disastrous idea to take him off it. Although he's missed a couple, you look at the long term, he's put in far more than he's missed, so definitely keep him on it, absolutely.
Yeah, because the reason I brought it back up again, John had tweeted to say that regarding Tavernier taking penalties, I mind watching Cantwell on Jimmy Bullard's golf channel on YouTube, and he was asked about who takes the penalties. Straight out, he said Tavernier, and no one else is allowed. Asked if he fancied them for himself, and he did say yes. I wonder, you know, again, we don't want to like dwell on the percentage too much, we spoke about it. I wonder if the fact that a lot of the ones that he does convert are particularly good ones, does that make sense? Does that add to the is that go in his favour in any way, or is that not matter?
Potentially. I just think when the amount of big ones he's took that referred to in big European games and big pressure situations where, you know, needing goals and at the end of games or whatever, I just think that, I think that counts for something. I think that experience in big moments when, you know, it's you with the ball in the penalty spot and 50,000 watching you, I'd be surprised, like I said, for, if he came off him.
Thanks to Alex. Have a good night.
Nice one, lads. Cheers.
I liked him. I liked his style.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just don't mind that
personality. Mm-hmm. I like that.
Good.
Came, I mean, spoke absolute nonsense about having never lost. It beat the pundit.
No, we don't know that.
But I genuinely, yeah, don't mind that at all.
It's back with a bang this week, though. It's better than last week, that's for sure.
Quite good. But, you know, the great thing about it is still that, you know, when you do that post-match analysis, still room for improvement there. That first question was a shambles, and then you
come out. I agree.
I'm interested, at the start of the show, you said you held your hand up. You reckon the goal Motherwell conceded at the weekend was at least partly your fault?
Yeah. So what, I think so, yeah.
What is that process? Genuinely, do you say, what, at half-time, full-time, today?
Both. Half-time and today. And
I'm actually being serious, because I quite like that insight. So
I think it's important for anyone to have accountability as a player. If you've made a mistake, you hold your hands up, you apologise, whatever, you move on. And I think in these meetings, obviously a big part, you know, at times it is an open floor to sort of say what you think, and sort of delving into it. I held my hands up and says, no, I feel as if, no, I can judge the flight of the ball better and maybe backtrack a couple of steps. And
so how did that happen in that moment? How do you look back on it?
I just remember the sun was coming directly over the corner taker. So if you watch it, I've got my hand over the sun as he's about to take it. But when he takes it, you know, my hand's almost covering the ball. So just, it's that the old debate with goalkeepers when it's sunny, that wear a cap.
You're not allowed to wear one.
No, you're not allowed to wear one anymore. But when it... the time I put my hand down, I can't really judge the flight of the ball. I then jump, I sort of stand in position, whereas if I see the flight of the ball early, I can backtrack a couple of yards because there is space to do so, and then head it clear.
And does everybody else just nod and say, you're right, Andy, it was your fault? Or do other people say, don't worry, I think I could have...
It was quite honest dressing room. I think a couple of people held their hands. I don't know if he'll hate the fact that I've brought this up, because one of the things we're all saying is that he hoped that, you know, the build-up to conceding the corner wasn't on Sports Scene at the weekend, because Paul McGinn's build-up to the corner he wasn't too happy with. A couple of instances as well. But fundamentally...
He passed it out for a corner.
But fundamentally, I hold my hands up. I think I've put in a big error on that part.
Andy's a Motherwell fan on the line. You like that honesty, Andy?
Quite true, yes.
It's true, you're right, it is. I know you weren't necessarily calling about your own team, though. What have you got for us tonight?
Well, I'm going back to Friday night's game about Ayr United. The tackle from the Ayr player on the Ayr United player that got Scott Brown a wee bit upset. Mm-hmm. And one of your callers wanted Nicky Wells to be a referee in the Old Firm game, and I think he was a referee that night. Absolutely dreadful. The boy never got sent off. That's my opinion. What about the panels?
Well, you won't be surprised to hear, I'm 100% with you, Andy. It was a lad, Dean McMaster. He looked surprised that he didn't get a red card for the challenge in Harry McHugh. Scott Brown was absolutely incensed by the decision. Am I right in thinking, Gordon, even obviously we don't have VAR in the Championship, that could still be pulled up by TV evidence and it could be a retrospective red card?
Technically, yes.
It was a poor decision.
But I don't think it was Nick Walsh, was it? It was not David Munro.
Yeah, it was a poor decision by the referee. I don't know whether he's not seen it correctly. He's not. Listen, it's a red card all day long.
From what it looked like, he did seem to be in a pretty good position, Andy. Yeah. You've seen that. He looks looking right at it. They don't have VAR, and we quite often use that as a real selling point for the Championship, and we say it's great. Look at this, it's real football, and it doesn't have VAR, none of this nonsense that we've got in the Premiership. And then maybe moments like that, you think, you know, maybe it would have come in handy. So
yeah, and Scott Brown and Ayr will be happy that it never cost them a result, because it would have played a big factor in the game. And listen, for me, it ticked every single box of a red card. I thought endangering an opponent, reckless, the excessive force, which, you know, I'm not a huge fan of. Yeah, I've got to agree with Andy and Roger. I thought I was very, very surprised not to see the red card. I'm one that I don't like comparing other instances, but I do think it was very similar to Naraya Welsh's tackle for Hibs at Easter Road a couple of weeks ago, just with that force that you go in and it's that lunge that we speak of. I thought it ticked every box for a red card.
Thank you, Andy. On the line on 01419511025. Any St Mirren fans want to say anything about the game at Fir Park? at the weekend. Just whilst we're, you know, kicking Andy while he's partly down, we could just keep going if you fancy. And if not, we'll do a full time teaser and more of your calls next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Hear it. Watch it. Search the YouTube stream now. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
It is that time of the night when you send a question to us and we try and get the pundits to answer it between now and the end of the show. Quite good fun because you get to try and catch them out. The problem is it's tricky on a Monday night. These two, you know, football geeks basically is the best, most polite way I can word it. But if you do fancy it, you want to test them or any of the other pundits out, it is fulltime at clyde1.com on the email. So let's do that tonight.
The full-time teaser with Universal Interiors East Kilbride, where their goal is a better wardrobe, slat wall, home office or media unit.
Okay, this one's been sent in by Callum and Uddingston. I think for men of your football intellectual capabilities, this is going to be a skoosh. Let me see if you can do it without getting any wrong, actually.
No,
that's the challenge I would give you. Can you name the last eight players to miss a Scottish Premiership penalty this season? Give me one each to kick off.
It's James Tavernier.
Who against?
Hibs.
Who was the last one he missed against before that?
Hibs.
Roger.
Lauren Shankland.
Yes. Okay, we'll leave that there. I think you're going to squish that. Of course, you can play along at home. See if you can get it quicker than these two. And a double layer of participation for you. You are actually the person that provides the questions. That's the beauty of it on the full-time teaser. So it's fulltime at clyde1.com. That is the email address you need. So please do send them in if you can, because it's a long old season. Still plenty of weeknight shows to go. Although, Roger Hannah, I did say it on Friday night, we decide. I don't know why it gets thrown around so willy-nilly up until now. I think the weekend there was the official start of the business end of the season.
Yeah,
I've been hearing it for a couple of months. I think we went too early.
Well, it must be because business was done in League One with Falkirk winning the title.
Exactly.
Business may well be done in League Two this weekend if Stenhouse Muir win first title in their history, and it will not be too long, I would suggest, before. I know Edinburgh City are down, part of that's down to the points deduction, but it won't be too long until relegation's sorted in some divisions and the playoff picture really begins to take shape.
Stenhouse, what about Stenhouse Muir's form? I mean, is that not 1-8 now after being over 20 points ahead at the top of the table? But listen, it was at 13, 14 points just now, so they're going to be following Falkirk pretty soon up the table.
Yeah, and well done to Falkirk, by the way, for winning that League One title. Any Falkirk fans out there want to share their thoughts?
Anyone seen producer John?
No idea.
Not probably. Spotted.
Celebrating?
No.
Probably still
behind the wall
celebrating. But I don't really like this because football is a meritocracy. There's a really easy way of telling who deserves to be in what division because the league table tells you. But when it's a team like Falkirk, people will always say, "Oh, that club shouldn't be in League One." So I get that, the size and the fan base and all that stuff.
Been there for the last 5 years.
Been there far too long.
Yeah, I've been seeing that for a long period of time though. Feels as if they're favourites for the last 5 seasons to get back promoted into the Scottish Championship. Even this year, you've got to say they're competing against a Hamilton side that you thought they were going to be really, really strong. Cove had obviously invested, but listen, that you always feel they've got too much quality to not come up the league. And like you say, it's been a bit of a sleeping giant in League One for the last 5 years. It's good to see them back up at the Championship.
I think Andrew was here a week past Saturday when he played Edinburgh City. Gordon, and did about 5,000 fans there. Anyone who can get 5,000 fans in their home games should be playing at a level higher than League One. Well done to John McGlynn, by the way. And if they get through the season as the Invincibles, it's another shout for manager of the year.
What about his dance moves?
Yeah, not bad, sure.
Not bad. No bad mover for his age.
Okay, if you say so. Just a quick one generally. When you were here 3 Mondays ago, I think, did you expect to fast forward 3 Mondays, still have no manager appointed for Aberdeen? Good win at the weekend, so well done for that, but that surprise you?
Well, it does surprise me, and it surprised me mainly because that day when they knocked Kilmarnock out of the cup, the club statement says they're at an advanced stage. Neil Warnock comes in and says they're at an advanced stage, and almost 3 weeks on, Alan Burrows does a Red TV interview saying they're at a very advanced stage. I think the win on Saturday has bought them a bit of time, Gordon. I think they're levelling points now with Motherwell. No one's talking about Motherwell being in a relegation fight. So I think Livingston are gone. Glad I think the playoff place will be between St Johnstone and Ross County. I think it buys Alan Burrows and Dave Cormack a little bit of time. It would not surprise me in the slightest to see Peter Leaven in charge for the rest of the season and a new managerial appointment coming in the summer.
Yep. I wonder, Andy, if we are now at that stage, if there is somebody that Aberdeen really want and they can't quite get right now, and they're not going to make the top six and they're not going to go down, is it maybe now, you know, this week, is it now a real possibility that Peter Leaven does stay until the end?
Well, am I not right in saying when Neil Warnock left, he said he was the one that made the suggestion because he felt the new manager had to be in the door now to see the squad that he was working
with? There was a lot of strange strands to that whole episode.
I think especially, you know, the last his last game was obviously going into a 2 week break in the international break, where they feel as if they said that the interview process was going to be happening, they were at advanced stages. Then you feel as if, okay, it's only a matter of time before they appoint the man they want. But listen, I would always say for any club, I think it's important you feel like you've got the right man for the job. So if they've done interview processes, they don't feel as if they've quite got the right man for the job just now, I don't see any reason why not to take time. I've said it before, I feel as if Peter Leaven should have got the caretaker job before Neil Warnock came in, and ultimately right now they've probably got the right man at the helm for this period of time. But I think it's important that Aberdeen get the right man and appoint him quickly.
More points than Neil Warnock already?
3 games.
Yeah.
Remind me that Bojan Miovski did eventually get credited with that first goal, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
Did, yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, he has to.
Yes,
at the same time,
it's on target, isn't it?
At the same time, it's
by
it's one of the worst examples of that I've seen.
Yeah, by the rule, it should be, but I think that should be an on goal. No, but by the rule, it's I'm not a striker, though. Do you know? I'm going to claim for everything.
So you'd rather it just went down as an own goal?
Yeah.
See, that's
no. I'm not saying I'd rather. I think it should be.
Yeah, I mean, rules are rules, as we always say on here. But anyway, at Clyde SSB, if you'd rather tweet your thoughts, and you can do, and if you want to phone us, that's the traditional way. I'd much rather do that as well. So let's do that with Graham, actually, who's in Belsill. How are you, Graham?
Good evening, gents. Nice to speak to you again. How are we?
All good in here. Yeah. How are you?
Excellent. Very well. Thanks. Very well.
What are you thinking tonight?
It's actually quite an overarching point. It's not something that's been discussed, but I thought I'd bring it to the table because I know it's quite heavy in the old firm just now. But actually, what I wanted to talk about is whether we are perhaps underselling Scottish football a bit at the moment. You know, I saw a meme the other day, actually, and it was about Wolves versus Fulham being on the Sky Sports Rotunda, and they were saying, oh God, what's this type thing? You know, boring dead rubber game. And if you look at it from Scottish football's perspective, it's a really exciting league. You know, we've got obviously the relegation battle is going on, then we've got the middle bit, which is the top six battle, then we've got, you know, fourth place for Europe, etc. Then obviously the league title. So every game in our league at the moment means something, and it's still at this point in the year, there's so much still to play for. And I just think that should be getting national coverage. I'd love to see nothing better than, say, after a match of the day on a Saturday night, there's then a Scottish football programme that the whole country gets to see, because every game means something, and all the teams are really going for it for different reasons. There's so much dead rubber games now in England, you know, that I just think they're really underselling Scottish football, and somebody marketing genius needs to look at this and really sell our game to the country. You hear of fans travelling from all over the UK up to Scotland for games every week, but we're not really pushing that.
I think Graham makes a really good point, Roger, and he admitted himself it's quite an overarching one because there's so much goes into that. As an example, I mean, I think there are Saturday night highlights, aren't there? But yeah. I take Graham's point, whether he meant, you know, UK-wide, I'm not entirely sure. You then have the TV deal gets a lot of debate. Then the complications behind that are the fact that currently the clubs, you know, stipulate that live games can only come from the same ground 4 times per season, and that's why you end up missing out on Edinburgh derbies and so on, and that's why most of Celtic and Rangers away games end up on the TV. And then you've got potentially the league itself, and by the way, that's no slight on the very small number of people actually who work at the SPFL, a surprisingly small number. Can the league itself do things differently? So there's, Graham's not wrong, and I think a lot of people listening will agree, there's just so much goes into that in terms of making it effective.
Well, I bow down to your greater knowledge of television, Gordon, because you're involved in it and I'm not. My understanding is that If you take away the Rangers-Celtic fixture, which you'll see on Sunday lunchtime and which will be watched by hundreds of thousands of people, potentially into seven figures, if you take that out, there's an enormous gap in viewing figures down to the next batch, which is effectively Celtic Rangers away games, where Celtic Rangers supporters who can't get tickets to grounds like Livingston yesterday watch that in reasonably big numbers.
Quite a few got tickets for yesterday, well, by the looks of it.
Then you take it down to the sort of next level. With the best will in the world, if there is a fixture, there was a midweek on Sky the other week where I think the Tuesday night fixture was at Ross County St Mirren and the Wednesday night fixture was Livingston Motherwell.
Which was a very good game, by the way. I don't like your tone.
No, it's not a tone.
What one?
Didn't have great viewing figures nationally. I think
without getting really deep on this though, that I think is also part of Graham's point. If you base it only on that, then yeah, sure. But then, okay, how are you marketing what's there then? How do you make that better? How do you make that more appealing?
How do you attract people down south to watch? No disrespect, I'm not having a pop at these clubs, the Premiership clubs. They're there in merit. But it's a hard sell for people down south to watch Motherwell versus Livingston. Think how many people actually paid money to go and attend that game.
Is you can always do more, though. You can't just roll over and think, well, there's nothing we can do then. You know, we've reached a finite number of viewers. I'd like to think our league executives and club executives don't think that way.
Well, listen, Graham was saying he saw a meme. I saw a video somebody was putting around earlier today of sort of pre-match, pre-kickoff entertainment at a game in Sweden and saying, look at this great spectacle. There's tifos all over the place and this is the sort of thing that we should be looking to do. Great, but is that going to bring more people to the game? Is it going to make it more attractive? Are TV companies going to pay more? I know you do bits and bobs for Sky. People really criticise Sky. I don't criticise Sky because it's actually Sky who are putting money into Scottish football when other broadcasters are not. I think Sky should be praised. But for me, you know, it's like anything else. It's supply and demand. TV companies would pay more for it if they thought the product would attract more viewers to their TV stations. Look at the money.
You can attract more viewers if the product is marketed better as well, though.
Well, you look at it. It sounds to me as if you're laying this at the door of the SPFL.
No, that's what I said.
So how do we market it better?
It's such a combined effort. Clubs can do it. Clubs can tell their stories. The league can pull it all together and tell stories. I'm not saying that they don't do that at all. Otherwise, you would just give up trying then and you would just accept that this is the way it's always going to be. You can't think like that.
I don't really know how to answer that, Gordon, because the clubs accept the TV deals that are there.
We're not talking purely just the number of people that are watching. I get that. But I think Graham's overriding point is if there's a pretty average fixture, you can make it look better than that, whereas we don't do that.
But if we're going to do that, then every single club in the Premiership needs to have a complete reset and rethink. You watch the elite teams in the English Premier League, Manchester City, Arsenal, one of the elite fixtures. You switch that on at the start of the programme and the TV, the broadcaster, is down the tunnel.
Correct.
Speaking to Erling Haaland.
Yes.
They're speaking to Martin Odegaard.
They get access to these things.
I could phone up tomorrow. And again, no disrespect to any, I'm just picking a couple of random clubs. I could phone up tomorrow to Ross County and Hibs and look for an exclusive interview with a player who has paid a lot less than Erling Haaland and is a lot lower profile than Erling Haaland, and wouldn't get it because it doesn't fit in with their media agenda. So clubs in the top flight in Scotland are doing less and less and less with the mainstream media to promote the product. And by mainstream media, I mean television, radio and newspaper. They're keeping the vast, vast, vast majority of their stuff in-house with their own media, which serves their own fans, but won't attract a wider audience to the game that Graham's talking about.
Anyway, it doesn't necessarily need to be a blame game, Andy. I think we can all agree in the notion that there's a lot to like and maybe we can try and push it in different ways. I like to think the show sort of does that. I mean, we're here every night as a starter.
Nobody can say we're short of drama up in Scottish football, that's for sure. People might knock the quality, but they certainly can't knock the entertainment. And listen, I giggled when Roger was talking about viewing figures, because I wonder what the viewing figures was for Arsenal Man City yesterday were one of the most boring 90 minutes of football I've watched for a long, long time. Probably since, to be honest, the Ross County St Mirren game that was live on Sky over a month ago. But that's, you know, I love our game. I love the entertainment value. I think we've got a lot of quality that gets undermined at times. But we probably certainly do sell ourselves short in some respect.
DC says, I agree with the current caller. The game up here is massively underrated. Where else can you see a player wipe out two of his own teammates with one kick of the ball?
Exactly.
Absolute Hollywood.
That for me should be the Scottish football advert when we're trying to sell Scottish football.
Yeah, because you need a USP, as they say. We can't compete with the glamour of the
English
viral. But come here and you will get such chaos as this.
Yep.
No? That make you want to watch, Roger?
Absolutely. Oh, I'd certainly watch, yeah. I'm going to go back to watch it and see it hit Joe Newell for the second time because I hadn't noticed that. But listen, the point I'm going to make as well, we are, in geographic, in population terms, Gordon, we're a relatively small nation. So, you know, we've only a finite number of people to actually watch football and a lot of them will consume it.
And lots of us love it so much we go.
Well, I was going to make that point. I mean, Neil Doncaster makes the point on an annual basis. I think per capita, we are one of the bigger nations for attending football. If you're at the game, you can't watch it on the telly.
The biggest.
Yeah.
I think one of. Anyway, good point, Graham. One that comes up from time to time. Who knows how we fix it? Maybe we'll find the answer one day. Thank you very much for your thoughts tonight. What about you two on this teaser? Can you name the last eight players to miss a penalty this season? You've got James Tavernier and Lawrence Shankland.
So I you says you don't want us to get one wrong. Well, I'll say that I guaranteed Adam Eder.
Yep, Roger.
Is Mark O'Hara one?
Oh, he is, well done. And I'll go one more guess from you.
Right, let's confer here. One of them's
what's nailed on. What we thinking's nailed on. Hurry up. I think silence doesn't work on radio.
Lewis Palmer.
Yes, okay, we'll get the rest of the answers next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Listen and watch. Check the Twitter feed at Clyde SSB. Clyde One Live. It's back, bigger than ever. Tickets are on sale now at ClydeOne.com. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Roger Hanna and Andy Halliday are here. They're tackling this full-time teaser, which was sent in by Callum in Uddingston. Callum asked, can you name the last eight players to miss a penalty in the Premiership this season? And you've given me James Tavernier, Adam Eder, Lewis Palmer, Lawrence Shankland and Mark O'Hara. Three to get. They are about to get a bit harder, I think.
What one are we more confident about?
Well,
I'm more confident
about him. Let's go him first.
Shinny.
Yes, Andrew Shinny of Livingston. Two to get. We'll get them before the end. If anyone's watching on the live stream, you can see these two. Roger Hanna's got the specs on. He's taking it seriously. They're both sort of showing each other their paper like you would do in school.
I know.
Conferring over it. They take it very seriously. And while we're on the subject, hopefully, I know we're kind of getting used to it now. I don't mention it all the time, but hopefully you're enjoying watching the live stream this season. And if you could pop onto that YouTube channel, make sure you've subscribed as well and see the slot in all their glory. Although it's days like this, you do regret it. I feel like I think windswept barely covers it. I was at the Home of Golf today.
Yes, so I believe that's what you're tweeting earlier on.
Brag about it? The Home of Golf with a friend of the show, more than that, Kenny Miller up there. But we got to play it backwards. So it's like an event. I think they must do it like once a year, but I don't think they always have. And so apparently that's the way it was designed originally, way, way, way back. And you play it in the other order.
How'd you get the ball out
Does
of the hole?
Does that make sense? Oh, very good. So you start on the first tee, okay, and you then play towards what is now the 17th green, okay? You then move the ball onto what is currently the 18th tee. And you play towards the 16th green.
Oh no!
And
no,
so on.
I'm gone already.
Until you're back round and you're on what is traditionally the second tee, but you play back up to the 18th.
I'll tell you something. The good people of St Andrews have been spoiled of late.
True.
You and Kenny Miller today. Did I not see pictures of the Dazzler standing in the Swilkin Bridge the other week?
Well, he was up for his birthday, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was in the caravan of love.
Yeah, he was just out walking though.
I cannot wait. to hear that voice clip of him tomorrow night again.
Let's play it again. Gordon Dale's voice malfunction from Saturday. Can we hear it once more? Is he out there?
Wasn't he very mobile, was he, when he came back?
No, he didn't look fit at all, so...
What on earth
happened? I think Mark's reaction makes it even better.
Well, we'll definitely play it when he's on tomorrow night. There's no doubt about that whatsoever.
I shouldn't have been my howler.
That's true.
Shouldn't have been my howler the weekend.
We can,
it's more of a squeaker than a howler.
We can definitely bring it back. Matthew tweeted in, you were talking earlier, and we just sort of randomly, because a caller brought it up, which is fine, talking about, you know, Scottish football, can we sell it better, market it better, whatever. Matthew says, there's your USP, and he's drawn my attention to what is a really good feature on Twitter, by the way. There's a lot of really not good things on Twitter. But the account Old Firm Facts, you familiar with their work? And every week they do a This Week in Scottish Football patter roundup from that week. Are you familiar?
Yeah.
So this week, as an example, they've gone, obviously, a picture of the Hibs free kick, knocking out a few players. Did you see the Kilmarnock Twitter account after the win at Tynecastle?
That was very funny. Fair play to them.
Rolling up the mat from the dressing room floor in a clear dig at the previous week's episode in the Sky Sports Cup final.
Yeah.
So that's good. We're good at laughing at ourselves or taking the you know what.
Well, you see, we've had a laugh at the weekend with the Hibs Twitter admin. We've had a laugh at the weekend with the Kilmarnock Twitter admin. Get these people to market Scottish football.
Well, on the Hibs Twitter admin, someone actually called earlier, right? Didn't get through. We were trying to call them back or something. But his point was, I'll bring it up, you know, about will Hibs or should Hibs face repercussions for tweeting penalty to Rangers who had 20 minutes?
Yeah.
How does that work? Because, I mean, technically, the rule that Brendan Rodgers breached last week?
Well,
you heard about that story, did you?
I believe because they're employees of the club.
Yeah, but who? As you said, no, it wasn't me. I wasn't on. It was Andy was tweeting that day, and Andy says, no, it wasn't me.
Touchline ban for the Twitter admin.
Yeah, you can't tweet for a day. How does that work? Because technically, that, as we were saying, that rule does cover club officials and staff. You know, you're not meant to imply bias. This would be the weirdest disciplinary hearing.
I think
of all
actually
time,
the Hibs Twitter admin has suffered enough, because when James Tavernier actually did score, there was a tirade of tweets from Rangers fans responding to him saying, did you have the 26th minute?
That's true. If you're going to put it out there, but I think that's okay.
Sure,
if you put it out there, you've got to know.
Exactly,
that
but that's enough.
I
really don't think it's the type of thing that should be looked at in any official capacity.
No notice of complaint from Hibs Twitter admin.
I wouldn't have thought so.
You'd like to think not, but Scottish football, after all, you never know. Every day tends to hold a surprise. Anything else we've missed from the weekend? Big result at the top of the championship.
Yeah, touched on it right at the top of the show. Yes, I think the United will go on and win that league. But what I would say is, Raith Rovers will be awkward opponents for anyone, Ross County or St Johnstone, beware.
I think there'll be plenty more twists and turns in that championship, to be honest with you. I don't think Dundee United have shown they can put a real good run together. I know we're running out of games now, but if Raith win their game in hand, I think that takes it only a point, is that right? So, no, I fully expect both teams to drop more points.
United's next two away at Queen's Park, away at Morton.
Yep, well, Morton have... Well, how long ago were we talking about that 15-game unbeaten run?
Yeah, that reminded me. I can't remember one of your newspaper colleagues. It doesn't really matter. It's just an example of the unpredictable nature. Said on Saturday when I was in his company, Queen's Park are flying and Morton are terrible. So it's a guaranteed Queen's Park
I had
win.
Seen Queen's Park for Super Scoreboard the previous week win it at United, and they were outstanding. And I too would have fancied them to win it a couple over the weekend, and apparently they were awful.
It's not last because you did speak about the quality of the goals, but in terms of a game itself, Hearts against Kilmarnock, it was third v fourth, which on paper is an exciting matchup. It is also the biggest gap by quite a bit, well, apart from at the bottom. It's the biggest gap that exists anywhere though in the Scottish Premiership in terms of points. And it was a draw, so the gap stayed the same. St Mirren, who are behind, they drew, so it wasn't there was no huge sort of conclusion to take away. No. Very good goal, as we said, from Marley Watkins.
You'd be a bold man to predict that Hearts won't finish third. Well, and I think any slight chance would they need the Kilmarnock win. By all accounts, it seems as if Kilmarnock slightly had the upper hand, but it didn't seem as if there was too much between the two teams. But like you said, it was two fantastic goals, I thought, for two different reasons. I thought Lauren Shanklin's chip ball for Kenneth Vargas, his first is obviously a permanent Hearts player, was, you know, the opposite. It's usually Kenneth Vargas as a supplier for, mm-hmm. for Lauren Shanklin, but then obviously very, very unfortunate not to. I think any other week could have got a goal of the weekend award. Marley Watkins' finish was fantastic.
I suppose officially it does seal Kilmarnock's top six place, which is, you know, well done to them. That'd be more than, you know, right at the start of the season. I mean, I know privately Derek McInnes would have high ambitions, but I think, you know, on day one of the season, if you're coming off of a campaign like last campaign, Kilmarnock fans would have taken just top six, but it now looks like, you know, they've got higher aims.
Yeah, and I think they'll qualify for Europe. I go back, Gordon, Super Scoreboard sent me to Dumfries 2.5 years ago, 2 and a bit years ago, for Derek McInnes' first game as Kilmarnock manager. They weren't guaranteed to come back up out of the Championship. He brought them out of the Championship. He consolidated in the Premiership. They're now top six. They're heading for Europe. He's done an outstanding job of work there.
Indeed. Right, let's finish with the full-time teaser. If you can you name? And it's thanks to Callum and Uddingston for sending in, with a big thanks, as always, to Universal Interiors in East Kilbride. Can you name the last eight players to miss a Scottish Premiership penalty this season? You've got James Tavernier, Adam Ida, Andrew Shinney, Louise Palmer, Lawrence Shankland and Mark O'Hara. I challenge you to get them all without getting any wrong, and you've done it so far. Two more names.
I think he missed one after the game after that, but it was one game.
Aye. Come on then.
Go on.
Martin Boyle.
Yes.
This last one.
And the last one, all credit to Andy Halliday.
Do you know why I think it's this one? Because I remember giving him a howler of the weekend because the amount of misses he had in the game.
Yep.
Mikael Mandron.
Oh, look at that. I've got them all right without getting any wrong. Well done. Back tomorrow. We'll see if Gordon Dale's voice box has returned to normal. So you won't want to miss that. Make sure you tune in at 6 o'clock. And Lynn is in for Callum. She's up next. Enjoy the rest of your Monday evening. And we'll speak to you tomorrow.